We are so excited about today. The planning has been a while. We're already looking to the next one, which is in January, the end of January. So mark your calendars. So this is exciting for us all to be together. So I want to pray, and then I'll go over some business, and then we will open with a scripture. So dear Lord, we just thank you abundantly for gathering your women together, Lord. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit descends and moves among every single woman here. Bring forth life, dear God. Bring forth life. We pray this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want to read in Psalm 45. I was going to just read part of it, but I decided I'll read it all. Psalm 45. You know, scripture is always good to start with, isn't it? Would you like to stand and follow along if you like, or you may not follow along and just listen. Either way is fine. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty, ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Yes. Your peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. King's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house, so the king will greatly desire your beauty, because he is your Lord. Worship him. And the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. With gladness and rejoicing, they shall be brought, and they shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, to whom you make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever. Amen. So I just want you to know you're all precious. You're all his daughters, every single one of you. He loves you all. And he thanks you for coming today. Really. So just to go over a couple things with you. If you didn't get one, there are agendas back there and clipboards. We thought it might be easier for you to write notes. If you don't want a clipboard, that's fine. And we ask if you don't mind to put the clipboards back in the basket when you leave, unless you really, really want it. We also had charms back there. If you're new to us, you pick some charms, you put them on a little tag, a little pen, and you hang them on the tree. And so we have quite a few on there now, and it's exciting for us to look at and see what you think is important in your life. The bathrooms, if you don't know, are just down the hall. We are going to have worship now. We have the schedule here. our minister, Carolyn, will share the word. Then we will break for lunch, prepared by Mary and Rob and Philip and lots of people. So it's going to be really good. And then we'll come back and have worship. And I think, are you sharing a poem today, Sharon? So Sharon will share her poem. She's a great poet. We have a poet in the house. And then we'll have communion. And then our own Pastor Janine will share a great word. I'm excited. And I think her theme is the Bride of Christ. And that's why you see everything so elegantly prepared. No, it won't be like this next time. It'll be different, right? We try to do something different every time. And then at the end, we will have prayer and ministry if anybody feels they need it. Otherwise, you can go home. Okay, so we're going to have worship now. So if you'd all like to stand and join in. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Good morning. How's everyone? Blessed and highly favored. Amen. My stomach is a little uneasy this morning, so just pray for me. I didn't wake up feeling too well this morning, but I had an assignment, and I had to fulfill my assignment. God bless you all. Amen. Where's Elder Trumbly? Oh, cool. She's handing out the material, because we're going to need this material to kind of clarify what I believe the Holy Spirit has given me to share with this body of believers in Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's give her some time. How's everybody's week been? Good, good. Amen. Amen. It's wonderful seeing all you wonderful ladies here this morning. Amen. Amen. Ah, glory to God. Thank you, Elder Louise, for your assistance. Amen. God bless. God bless. Amen. God is so good. He is such a wonderful Father, a gracious Father. He's faithful and just in all his ways. His promises are true. In fact, they are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. Aren't you glad to know Christ? Yes. Aren't you glad to be in his kingdom, yes, in his will, yes, under the blood, yes, in the ark of safety? Yes. God is a great God. Amen. Our Father God, the God of all grace and the God of all mercy, we come boldly before your throne of grace because of your faithfulness, because of your love, because of your goodness. Lord God, we come this morning looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We come, Lord God, this morning asking that you would open up the ears of your people, that you open up our hearts to be receptive to your word, and that you will give us the grace to implement, the grace to apply it to our lives. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O women of God, children of God, hear. Listen, take heed, pay attention. Hear with your heart, O women of God. The Lord our God is one Lord. One Lord, not many, one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. All of our heart. And with all of our soul. And with all of our might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in our heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We are to teach the word of God. Not every now and then, not when we feel like it, but every day, when we rise up during the day, we are to teach the word of God. His word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, health to our navel, and it is marrow unto our bones. That's life. The word of God is life. The word of God delivers. The word of God heals. The word of God sets us free. The word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God supersedes any word of mankind. Supersede any book that we may write. The word of God lasts forever and ever. It never becomes antiquated. It never becomes out of style. It is always relevant. It's relevant. Today, hallelujah, even though our young people don't believe that the word is relevant, and they don't believe it because they don't read it, they don't believe it because they don't know it, so something that you don't know is not relevant, amen, but the word of God is relevant in every generation, for the baby boomers, for the millennials, for the X generation, the Z generation, and any other kind of generation, the word of God is relevant. But you don't know that unless you read it, unless you study it, unless you meditate in it, unless you apply it, unless you live it. That's the only way we're going to know that the word of God is relevant. To every circumstance, to every situation, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, God's word is relevant for our lives, whatever it is. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too impossible for God. Nothing. Say nothing. Nothing is too hard for God, because we serve the living and risen Savior. We don't serve idol gods. Not for idol God, nothing is possible with idol gods, but with the living God. All things, all means all. Don't add, don't subtract. All means all. I don't care what your situation is. Stand on his truth and stand on his word. Amen. That's not even what my lesson is about. But it's all relevant. Amen. God bless you. Let me get into my word. That's my prolegoma, my introduction. Amen, amen, amen. God bless, amen, amen. This is my second time for the women's ministry, and I didn't want to do this, praise God, but Pastor Janine, she twists my arm, and she said, if you don't, I'm going to beat you up. so to speak. Right, right. Amen. So anyway, praise God today. My theme for today is stay the course. Stay the course. Stay the course. Everybody in here know Jesus. Everybody saved. Everybody confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody. Everybody. Amen. Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. That's all right. But my theme is stay the course. Well, now, how can I stay the course? What is it that I do to stay the course? What's this course you talking about? Paul says, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's looking unto Jesus. Our course is we start from here, but we're looking to be with Christ. We're looking to be with him, whether he comes back to the second coming or whether we go meet him when we leave this mortal veil. And so from A to Z, in the middle, we got to stay the course. We can't deviate. We can't get off the road. Amen. But we got to stay the course. And in staying the course means we have to persevere. We have to persevere through terrain. We have to persevere through trouble. We have to persevere through heartache and sorrow and grief and doubt. We have to persevere through disappointment and sorrow. We have to persevere. No matter what it looked like, no matter what it feel like, no matter what you lack, no matter what you need, we have to persevere in order to stay the course. We have to press. We have to, it's a pressing. So we have to press. We have to press. Some of us don't want to press. The minute something happened, we want to throw in the towel. We want to give up. And we want to do our own thing because God is taking too long. But we have to press. So in staying the course, we have to pray. We have to pray. Not sometime, thank you, sister, she said always. Not sometime, not when I feel like it. But we have to pray always. Thessalonians 5 said, pray always. Always mean always. Pray always. Whether you feel like it, whether you feel good, whether you've got a pocket full of money, whether your bills are due, and the baby need a pair of shoes. Yeah, I know that, right? Light bill due. Telephone disconnected. Won't have landlines no more. But your cell phone can get disconnected. You don't pay that bill. Amen. Your cable disconnected. Our humor's always good. Amen. Amen. So we have to pray about everything. I mean everything. I don't care from the smallest detail to the, it's magnified. The word tells us to pray. That's how we're going to stay in the course. We're going to stay the course because why? We're going to pray. We have to endure. We have to endure. To stay the course, we have to have some back. Boom. You can't have no weak back, feeble back. You got to have a strong back to stay the course. Amen. And we have to endure. Endure hard times, hardship like a soldier. To stay the course, we have to endure some things. You have to endure. You got to hang in there. You got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You have to hang in there. You have to tie a knot around the rope and just hang on. Because maybe all you can do is just hang on. Because your situation has gotten so heavy, so hard. Endure. Call somebody on the phone. I need prayer right now. I need you to help me to stand in the gap. I need you to help me to endure so I can stay in the race. Oh, glory to God. I need your prayers. I need a word from the Lord so I can endure, so I can be pleasing unto God. Stay the course. We have to endure. We have to stay in the race. You know this is a race, y'all, don't y'all? It is race. How many of you have been in a race? Raise your hand. So y'all know what I'm talking about a race, right? So to start from the finish line to get to the end of that line, what do you have to do? You have to prepare. What you say, sister? Endure. Amen. You have to exercise. A whole lot of stuff you have to do. You have to leap over hurdles, I guess. We do literally have to leap over hurdles in our life. Amen? We really, really do. Amen. So we have to stay in that race. And those of you who have ran races and you've jumped over hurdles and stuff like that, you know what it is. You know what it means to get to that finish line. You know what you had to do, how you had to prepare yourself so that you can endure, so that you can press, so that you can persevere. You know what you had to do to achieve that goal. The same principle applies to us staying the course. Amen. So if we don't stay the course, we become disqualified. And I'm sure none of us in here want to be disqualified. Stay the course. Now, that was just my theme. I didn't even get to my subject. That's just my theme. My first lady, she's so precious. My subject is the heart of God's leaders, the heart of God's people. The heart. The heart. My resources are coming from Frank DiMaggio, The Making of a Leader, the Bible, King James Amplified Living Bible, the English Bible, and I Googled some material pertaining to the heart from the Cleveland Clinic. So I just want to let you know where I've gotten my material, letting you know I didn't make this stuff up. I ain't smart enough to make it up. So the heart, we're talking about the heart. And I think you all received some information, amen, about the heart. Amen. I'm going to talk about two hearts today. Because literally, if you're born of the Spirit, if you're born again, you have a spiritual heart. So I'm going to talk about two hearts today. And both of those hearts are prevalent. We need them both. We need both of these hearts. So we have two hearts. We have our physical heart and the spiritual. And both are equally important, vital, and necessary. Both of them. Try living without them and see what happens. Try living without your physical heart. Try living without your spiritual heart and see what happens. Both has a particular function to perform. Both of these hearts, they have particular functions to perform. A physical heart cannot do what our spiritual heart is designed to do. The physical heart can't do what our spiritual heart is designed to do. Because our physical heart is not born of the spirit. Amen? So it cannot do what my spiritual heart can do. And, okay, my physical heart, okay, and neither can my spiritual heart do what my physical heart was created to do. Two separate things going on here. Though they have two separate functions, they dwell in one body. One body. We have a Trinity. Three in one and one in three. We don't have three gods, we got one. So we have the physical heart and the spiritual heart, which is housed in one body. It's all in here, in this one body. If our physical heart stops functioning, we cease to live, cease to exist. We're going to die. We're going to check out of here. If our physical heart stops performing, stops functioning, stops beating. Amen. And if our spiritual heart stops operating, we become disqualified, unfruitful, and spiritually dead. We got two hearts here that we got to work on and maintain. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I gave you a diagram. Take out your heart diagram. I think everyone should have one to have one. And so we're looking at this diagram. You see the outside and you see the inside of this diagram. Am I right about it? And on this heart, in this heart, there are many components. And they all work together to perform its purpose. If one area stops, we are in deep trouble. So on this heart, we see the aorta, we see the left coronary, the right coronary. We see the outside and the inside of our heart. This is our physical heart. This is what we were born with. But if this heart stops beating, if any area in this heart stops working, we're going to have some issues. We're going to have trouble. It may be hard for us to breathe. It may be hard for our blood to flow up and down. But if any of these areas stop functioning, we are in deep trouble. Amen? Now, our heart is the primary organ of our circulatory system. It pumps blood throughout our bodies. We have any medical people here? Amen. So my sister, you know what I'm talking about. Glory. So, you know, if I say something wrong, you know, just raise your hand. Amen. Because I'm not in the medical field. Praise God. But our heart is the primary organ of our circulatory system, and it pumps blood throughout our bodies. It also works with other body systems to control your heart rate and blood pressure. Our family history, personal health history, and our lifestyle. Say lifestyle. All affects how our heart works. The heart is located in front of our chest. It sits slightly behind and to the left of your breastbone as the sternum, known as the sternum. But your rib cage protects your heart. Say protect. your heart. So just like a physical heart has to be protected, our spiritual heart has to be protected. Now, for our heart, physical heart to be healthy, there are some things that we have to do to maintain a healthy heart. We have to have a good diet, fruits, and vegetables. These are things that we have to do. We can't eat anything we want to eat. We can't drink anything we want to drink. Amen. We can't smoke a pack of cigarettes 24/7. I ain't condemning, I ain't judging. If you're smoking a cigarette, oh, praise the Lord, I'm going to let you know it ain't good for your heart. Amen. We have to exercise. Now, we're talking about the natural heart. We've got to take care of this natural heart that weighs about 10 ounces and is big as two clenched fists. Amen? But we are responsible to take care of our heart. We are, I am, you are responsible for taking care of this physical heart that pumps blood in and out every day, all day. We're responsible. We have to control our blood pressure and cholesterol. We're responsible. We are. Take responsibility of taking care of our physical heart. We have to comply with medication to prevent heart disease and more problems. But listen, who has to be responsible? It's not your mama, it's not your daddy. Something else goes. It's just me, oh Lord, right? Standing in the need of prayer. Praise God today. But we're responsible for taking care of this heart that's in our chest. And protected by the rib cage. We want to protect everything. Our dog, our cats. We want to protect everything, but we need to protect our heart. Amen. 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 So there are things we got to do to protect our heart. You can't be stressed out 24/7. Give it to the Lord. Amen. You can't be stressed out what you don't have. If you don't have it, you don't have it. Just leave it alone. Because it's putting stress on the heart, your physical heart. Amen. You can't be stressed out about education, if I'm going to get an A in class or a B in class or a CD in class. Don't be stressed out about it. Just study. Just study. And go to your classes. So we want to protect this heart. This heart is a primary organ. It's a vital organ. It's a necessary organ. It's necessary. Let me see you take your heart out of your chest and see how long you're going to live. This heart is necessary. This is our physical heart, and we need it. And we're responsible for taking care of this physical heart. Amen. I'm going somewhere. Don't worry. I'm going somewhere. Praise God. Amen. Don't go nowhere. Praise God. So we're protected. We're responsible for protecting this heart. Amen. Now, the definition of the word heart, give you a definition of the word heart. What does God mean when he asks us to give him our heart? He ain't talking about giving him this heart. What does he mean when he says he wants our heart? He wants your heart, your heart, your heart, your heart. He wants your heart. I'm going to give you three perspectives on the heart. Now, to the Western hemisphere, the Western world, where we live, the word heart may generally mean, and it's beyond the vital physical organ, it may mean the emotional feelings of a person. Emotional feelings of a person. For instance, when a man said he loves a woman with all his heart, generally he's speaking with intense feelings. Intense feeling. Emotions. And that's how we think as Western people. And that's as far as we get. Intense feelings and emotions. We don't go any further than that. Everything we do, we based on feelings. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like going to school. I don't feel like going to class. I don't feel like cooking for my husband. I don't feel. Feelings come and feelings go. I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like studying the word. I don't feel this. I don't feel that. Feeling comes and goes. Amen. Feelings. God cannot use us based on feelings. He can't, because feelings are unstable, fickle. Who said fickle? That's my amen corner. So, that's all the Western world talk about, feelings. Ain't that right, my Pastor Janine? Feelings, feeling, 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 feeling. Emotion, emotion, emotion. That's why we get in trouble, because we're basing everything on our feelings. So we get in trouble. Now, that's one perspective. I'm going to bring a little bit closer about giving our heart to the Lord. However, to the ancient Hebrew mind, the meaning of heart encompasses not only a person's emotions, because all God uses all of that, but also his spiritual, his mental, and physical life. We talking about, what does God mean when he asks us to give him our heart? Now, it's a different take when it comes to the ancient Hebrews. They're saying it's the person's emotion, it's our spirit, it's our mental, and it's our physical life. So we're getting a little bit more clarity as what God means when he says, I want all of you. I want your heart. Amen. The Hebrew view man as a total unit, a total being, total. Complete. And the word heart was understood in that context. Emotions, our spirit, our minds, our physical life, our body, every part of us, all of us. Now, I'm going to take you to the English Bible. One of the most common Greek words that is translated as heart is the word cardia. Cardia means heart. And it refers to the center and seat of both spiritual and physical life. It carries the connotation of both soul and mind. So we're getting a little bit clarity. It just ain't about dealing with emotion. Though many of us who serve God or say we serve God only with our emotions. That's like having a half-baked cake. I invite you over for tea and cake. I give you tea, but the cake is half-cooked. Half-baked. And sometimes we give God, not all of us, but some of us. Some of us. But God gave us his best. He gave us his very best. He gave us his son, Jesus. On the cross of Calvary, on Golgotha, he gave us his very best, his one and only begotten son. That's what he gave us. He took all of our sins, every last one of them, past, present, and future, took them to that cross for me and you. Why? Because God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's for somebody who don't know Jesus yet. So if God can give us his very best, why are we just giving him just a little bit? Just part of us. Go to church on Sunday, run around the church, jump across pews, hang from the chandelier. Y'all know what I'm talking about, especially my African-American sister sitting up in here. And then when we walk out that door, praise God, we're going somewhere else because we, quote unquote, have already gave God our best. Help us, Jesus. We already gave him our best. So we think. So as I was saying here, cardia is the heart. The heart. Amen. And it is referred to the center and the seat of both spiritual and physical, and it carries the connotation of both soul and mind. We are a tri-being. We are spirit, soul, and housed in a body. So we are tri-being. Glory to God today. Therefore, the definition of the word heart is the core of a person's body, mind, emotions, personality, character, and spirit. In short, God is asking for our entire lives. Entire lives. All of it. Not just a little bit, a fourth of it, a quarter of it, a half of it, a third of it. But all, a whole, whole. All of us. All of us. And that's how we're going to stay the course. Because we're giving God all of us. All of me. He wants your money. I know some of you say, God can't have my money. God wants our money. He wants everything. Our children. He wants our spouses. He wants every single thing. Why? Because we are his creation. He's the creator. He created us. And so he has the right, he has the authority to say, I want all of you. All of us. Right now, today. Thank you, precious. Ooh, praise God. Thank you. Excuse me. Ain't that what preachers do? Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm so sorry. I got water up here. Amen, amen. Praise God. So, who said, oh, Lord? Oh, ooh, let me throw some out there. Pray over it. We'll be holy water. Amen, amen, amen. So, we got three perspectives on what does God mean when he asks us to give him our heart. Have I made myself clear? Because if not, I'll reiterate it. I'll go over it again. I'll get Elder Trumley up here, and she can explain it even further. What it means to give God our heart. Praise God. Let me move right along here. Giving God our heart. We want to give God our heart because we want to stay the course. We don't want to become disqualified. So we want to give God our total, total being. All of this, all of me. No matter what color skin you in, no matter what size body you in, no matter if you thin like me or pleasingly shaped like Janine. You're so, amen. God is asking for all of us. So today, if you haven't given God all of you, this would be a good day to give God all of you. Today, not tomorrow, because you don't know, are we going to make it tomorrow? My former pastor said, we know how much time we've spent. We don't know how much time we got left. None of us do. So today is a really good day to give all of us to God, our heart, our mind, our strength, our soul, our body. Every part of us, sisters. I don't care if you're in a leadership position. I don't care if you're in a governmental ministry, congregational ministry. I don't care what you're doing. If you haven't given God all of you, if you haven't surrendered God all of you, totality, if you haven't surrendered your total life to God, this will be a good day. A good day. A good day. So, when God says, I want all of you, he wasn't talking about this organ or this muscle that's in our chest. He wasn't talking about a physical heart. He was talking about a spiritual heart. The spiritual heart. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. So, glory to God. So I'm talking about two hearts. And I was talking about the physical heart, how we got to take care of it, how the physical heart is vital, how it is necessary, how we have to take care of it. Amen. In order to keep our blood pressure down and our cholesterol down, we have to eat. We have to eat healthy food. So now, I want to talk about, and we talked about this heart is protected by the rib cage. It's primary, it's a primary organ. It's a necessity. Now, when my son-in-law, he made his transition not too long ago. He was in the hospital. I got a phone call, and they said he has 2 hours to live. 2 hours to live. So we get to the hospital. Everybody was there, and he wasn't cognizant. He had tubes going everywhere, so myself and a couple of sisters, when I got there, two sisters was already praying, so when I got there, I joined in and began to pray. But what was going on? Everything has stopped working, but his heart. His heart was still functioning. A major, major organ. Major organ. He didn't make his transition until the heart stopped. The heart, it is vital. It's a necessity. We cannot live without the heart. No longer, no more than we can be vital, productive, without the spiritual heart. We need both hearts. We need our spiritual heart. And the only way you can have a spiritual heart is that we have to be born of the Spirit. We have to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's what he told Nicodemus. So if he told Nicodemus, you must be born again, then that same statement applies to each and every one of us today. We must be born of the Spirit. We cannot function in the purpose of God or the will of God or the plan of God if we have not been born again. Born of the Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. So our spiritual heart, must have left some papers at home, but it's okay. Pastor Janine, she would have laughing at me. Praise God. So I'm going to talk about the spiritual heart. In order to stay the course, we have to have a spiritual heart. There are three reasons why we need to guard our heart. I spoke about the natural heart, and now I'm going to talk about the spiritual heart. The heart is the very source of all of our attitude and action. This is the spiritual heart, because out of the heart, the mouth speak it. Nothing's going to come out of this organ. Nothing's going to come out of a physical heart. But when we speak, it's coming out of our spiritual heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligency, for out of it are the issues of life. We got to be careful of how we speak, how we talk, what we say. We got to be careful of what we look at, where we go, who we let talk into our ear, the movies we look at. We have to be extremely careful of what teaching we sit under. There are false prophets, false teachers, false pastors, bishop, I don't care what title. They are out there. They are real, they are prevalent. And so we have to be careful who we sit under. We got to be careful when we go on the media, Facebook, Skype, all those other things I don't know nothing about. I only know about Facebook. But we got to be careful. Everything on Google is not always the truth. Amen. We can't put everything on Facebook because you've given the enemy an opportunity to use it. So we got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. So we cannot put our life on Facebook, our children on Facebook, telling them everything about your children. We got human trafficking all day long, and it's living. Now you set up your kids, and now they know where to go find your children. You put up where the school is. What time they get out of school? Stop it. Stop it. As parents, we are responsible for the safety and the well-being of our children. As parents. We're talking about attitudes and we're talking about our actions. The Amplified Bible says, keep your heart with all vigilance, and above all that, you guard it. For out of it flows the springs of life. Guard your heart more than any treasure, for it is the source of all life. The Living Bible says, above all else, guard your affections. For they influence everything else in your life. Everything. We have to guard our affections. We can't give our affections to any and everybody. We can't give our affection to Billy, Joe, Carl, Peter, Paul, and John. We cannot give our affections away. We got to guard our affections. Amen. Oh, glory to God today. Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the KJV. Our Amplified Version says, the peace of God which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we are responsible for guarding, protecting, covering our spiritual heart. We're responsible for protecting the spirit, the spiritual heart. You know why people who have been in church and they were on fire for the Lord, singing, praying, interceding, laying hands on the sick, and they recovered? You know why they're no longer in the body of Christ? Why they're no longer in church? Because they stopped guarding their heart. Why people who was in the body and now caught up in all kind of habits, drugs, or whatever you want to call it, because they left their heart unguarded. Unguarded. At one time, they guarded their heart. At one time, they protected their heart. But somewhere down the line, they stopped covering the heart. Maybe because somebody had begun to whisper in their ears. Maybe some good-looking man, smelling good, looking good, wearing jewelry, did I pronounce that right? Wearing cologne that smells so good. Praise God today. They went to their closet and they opened up the wardrobe and they got 500 jumpsuits, and all they have to do is go and get this jumpsuit and put it on, and then they go in their closet and they got a million pairs of shoes, and all they do is take a pair of gym shoes, because these young men, all they wear today is jumpsuits and gym shoes. When they go to their prom, they wearing gym shoes and no socks. Am I telling the truth? And here we are. We done took the guard off our heart, because now I'm looking at this man and he's looking good to me. Smelling good. Flashing this money. And now my mind get to thinking, I need to get this man's telephone number. I need to know where he's living, where he's staying. And many of them is living in their cars. Don't even have a one-room apartment. But he got our attention because of the outer appearance. He don't know nothing about God. He don't want to know nothing about God. He don't want to hear about God. He don't want to even see God. But we didn't open up our heart to this man, to this guy, that we think that he's all that in a bag of chips. And he's only a grim cracker. Hallelujah today. We don't know that this man, he's selling drugs. We don't know this man is tooting drugs, smoking drugs, mainlining drugs, because all we're looking at is on the outside. And we've opened up our heart to the devil, to the enemy. Because the enemy comes in all kinds of forms. He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I've come to give life and give it more abundantly. And he's not like man that he shall lie, nor like the Son of Man that he shall repent or change his mind. His word is his word. So we have to guard our heart at all costs, 24/7. We have to guard our hearts. We have to guard our heart as a soldier guards the city gate. We must watch. We must watch. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Over our affections to prevent from an invasion of foreign values. Like I said, we have to watch what we see, watch what we hear. We have to watch the company that we keep. I've always told my son, watch the company that you keep, because birds of a feather flock together. We have to be wise when we're on social media. Even the movies we go to see, we have to be careful of the movies we go to see. Now, if we look at movies on Dish or cable or stream or whatever those other things, we watching movies in, out, day and night, all day. We become a couch potato. And these movies are cussing and swearing, and you're looking at all these sexual scenes and all of that stuff. And they're saying the F word, the N word, the D word, and any other word with some letters attached to it. And we're looking at this, and we're hearing this 24/7. Then all of a sudden, somebody then pissed you off, made you mad. Guess what's going to come out your mouth? Bleepity, bleep, bleep, bleep. And then you're going to say, oh, my God, where did I come from? It's because we took our eyes off of God and we put it on that which the enemy has presented to us. For a minute, we unguarded our spiritual heart. We took the guard off. Amen. Amen. You got to be careful who you date, who you marry. You can marry somebody that you think that he's just the best thing God can give you until you say, I do. And you find out it's a horse of a different color. You find out that he's a man that likes pornography. But you didn't know that beforehand, because he didn't let you know beforehand, because he knew already in his mind that when I marry you, this is what we're going to be doing. So you got to be careful of who you marry. You got to go beyond the emotions and check everything out about that man. His background. If he's been married 4 or 5 times. If he got children by other women. You have to check it out. You have to do some investigation. If not, I saw my pastor look at her watch. Is my time up? Oh, praise God. Oh, you did? Okay. Praise God. That's a distraction from the enemy. I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we got to be careful of not letting foreign invasions come into our heart. We got to guard our heart. Our life depends on guarding our heart. Second reason we must guard our heart is because it is the source of all that we minister or speak. When we're ministering to people, our hearts got to be right. Amen? Because we could be speaking life or death over that individual. So we have to guard our heart. And
How do we guard our heart? How do we stay the course? We have to meditate on the word of God. We have to pray. We have to fast. We have to fellowship like we're doing today. We have to guard our hearts. Matthew 12:34b and 35. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Each of us is the guard in charge of the storehouse of our own house. A storehouse was the place in ancient time, Israel, where they store wine, oil, they store a whole lot of stuff. They store weapons, grain. It's a storehouse. Our heart is a storehouse. So what are we storing in our spiritual heart? It's a storehouse because we're giving out. We have to give out. So what are we giving out of our spiritual storehouse? What are we giving out? What are we saying about our own situation, our own circumstances? What are we saying about what we're dealing with? What are we storing in our storehouse? Are you storing in your storehouse love? Are we storing in our storehouse forgiveness? What are we storing up in our storehouse to give out? Are we storing in our storehouse the word of God? What are we storing in our storehouse? Are we storing in our storehouse peace? What are we storing in our storehouse? We want to give out good stuff out of our storehouse. We want to give out blessings out of our storehouse. Our heart is only as big as we give out. If we give little, then it indicates what's in our storehouse. So what are we putting in our storehouse? What are we stashing in our storehouse to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to give strength, to encourage? What are we putting in our storehouse? Praise God. Third reason why we need to guard our heart. The third reason we are commanded to guard our heart is to prevent it from causing spiritual defilement. Defilement to ourselves and to God's people. Spiritual defilement. Jesus said, the unguarded heart of a leader, of a saint, child of God, can become the source of a long list of terrible things. An unguarded heart. You've opened it up to the enemy. You're saying, Satan, here's my heart. Do what you will. An unguarded heart. Many churches fall apart because the heart of the leader has become unguarded. Unguarded heart. I'm talking about our spiritual heart. We must guard it. An unguarded heart can lead us into all kinds of mischief. Can lead us into all kind of wickedness. All kind of ungodliness. All kind of sin. An unguarded heart can lead us down a road of destruction. An unguarded heart can cause us to defile ourselves, our families, our loved ones, our children, our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we open it up. An unguarded heart. Why are we guarding our heart? Why do we need to guard our heart? Why is it so important to guard our heart? Isn't it enough that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior? Isn't that enough? I see Mary Jo shaking her head. Isn't that enough that I just believe that Jesus died for my sins? Isn't that enough? Lord, isn't that enough? No. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it is a walk. It is a lifestyle. It is the way we live. We need to guard our heart because our heart is extremely valuable. Extremely valuable. When something is valuable, what do? We protect it at all costs. Our children are valuable. And a mother gonna protect that child come hell or high water? She will kick over bricks, tear down walls, go through tunnels to protect her child. Our spiritual heart needs to be protected. Same way. It is valuable. It's valuable. It's priceless. You can't pay for it. You can't buy it because Jesus already paid the price. So our spiritual heart as well as our physical heart is valuable. It's valuable. Don't trade it. Don't sell it. Don't give it to the enemy, but protect it at all costs. It is valuable because it is the essence of who we are. It is our authentic self. It is the very core of our being. It is where your dreams, your desires, and your passion lives. It is the part of you that connects with God and other people. Our spiritual heart. You can't see a spiritual heart like you do a physical heart, but we can see a spiritual heart in the sense of how we live, how we love each other, how we extend hospitality to each other. So, it's a demonstration. It's love. I suggest today that we make guarding our hearts a top priority. Top priority. We make many other things top priorities, but those things don't guard the heart. We want to make guarding our spiritual heart a top priority. Because our heart is the source of everything we do. Everything we do is in our heart. Is in our heart. Is in our emotion. Is in our mind. Is in our thought. Is in our will. Is in our soul. Is in our intellect. Is in every area of our being. If your heart is unhealthy, unhealthy, and just like, just like our physical heart can become unhealthy because we neglected it, or it could be unhealthy because of hereditary. We were born with an unhealthy heart or whatever. But even at that, if we find out we have an unhealthy heart, we do our best, very best to maintain, and we still do what we need to do to maintain our physical heart. So we have to maintain our spiritual heart, and it has to be our top priority. It has to be on the top of our list. And everything else under that. But our spiritual heart has to be on the top of the list, because it governs everything we do. Everything. If your heart is unhealthy, it has an impact on everything else. Everything else, an impact. You wonder why this, you wonder why that, you wonder why you can't hear from God, you wonder why you're out of the will of God, you wondering this, that, and another. Check your heart. Check your heart. Maybe you uncovered it just a little bit. But all it takes is a little bit. The next thing you know, it ain't covered at all. So let's make our heart top priority. It threatens your family when your heart is unguarded. Your friends when your heart is unguarded. Your ministry, your career when your heart is unguarded. And it affects your legacy. Your legacy. Because if the enemy can stop you, he's going to stop your legacy. When my son-in-law made his transition and I did his home, and I was, you know, reading his obituary, he was saved, by the way. But before he made his transition, Lord had only given him 10 years because 10 years ago he had cancer in his bones. He used his own bone marrow. The Lord granted him 10 more years. And then when he got to 10 years, the Lord said, I'm giving you 4 more weeks. But before he made his transition, he left a legacy for his son. All of his 401k, all of his monies, everything went to his son. He left his son a legacy. A legacy. So we want to cover, keep our heart covered, our spiritual heart. Because one thing, when your spiritual heart is covered, your mind is clear. You can see clearly on a dark day. We can see what God sees. We can hear what God hears. We can speak what God speaks when our heart is covered. Our spiritual heart. We got to keep it covered. It is therefore imperative that we all guard it. We all guard our heart. Because our hearts are under constant attack. It's under constant attack. Our heart is under constant attack. When you get up, when you lie down, when you sleep, and even in your dreams, you're under attack. Our heart, thank you, Pastor, are always under attack. We can't let up for 1 minute. We got to guard our heart. Because look, my heart goes out to pastors and their wives and their children. Because I know the body of Christ is under attack. But when you're in that kind of leadership, you are under attack 100 times over. 100 times over. So that's even more reason why we have to keep our leaders in prayer. Hold up their arms. Like they held up Moses' arms in the wilderness so they could win the battle. So we got to guard our spiritual heart. Because our hearts are under constant attack, when King Solomon says to guard our heart, he implies that we are living in a combat zone. 24/7. We're living in a combat zone. One in which there are casualties. There are casualties in the combat zone. And we're an easy prey when our heart is not covered. It's enough having a heart covered and in the combat zone because now we know how to battle. But if our heart is uncovered and we find ourselves in a combat zone, the enemy gonna tear you up and wear you out. So we have to cover our spiritual heart. And I can't say enough that we have to cover that spiritual heart with the word of God, with prayer, with fasting. It applies that we are living in a combat zone where casualty is going to result. You're going to always have some casualties because we're in a war. We're in a battle every single day. Many of us are oblivious to the reality of this war. We're just going around and say, la, 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 la. La, 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 la. We're oblivious that we are in a war, a spiritual war. The enemy is on our trail every day, all day, trying to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Why? Because he loves every last one of us. I don't care where you are, what condition you're in, what you're struggling with. That ain't nothing to God. That ain't nothing to God. Just hand it over to God. Give it to him. Release it. His shoulders bigger than mine, yours, and everybody put together. He said, give it to me because I care for you. I love you unconditionally. I love you. That's who I am. I'm love. I'm about love. I'm the epitome of love. God loves each and every one of us today. I don't care if you're having problems with your spouse, your children, enemy, neighborhood. I don't care what's going on in your life today. I don't care. God said, give it to me. Give it to me. Release it. Give it to me. And he means every word of it. He means every word. He's not off in some la-la land. He's right here, right now, as close as the nose is on your face. God loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He wants us delivered. He wants us healed. He wants us to be set free. He wants to give us life and give it more abundantly. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to have the best. because he gives his best. He wants us to know him personally and intimately. He wants to have a relationship. He wants to have a prayer life with you. God loves us just that good. I mean, wow. He don't love us like man love us. When man love us, if we don't do what he tell us to do, he may jump on you. He may leave you. He may withhold money. You don't have a job. You ain't got a dime in the bank. But he gonna withhold money. But he call it love. That is not the kind of love God has. God's love is unconditional. He don't put nothing on it. He don't say, well, sister so-and-so, if you do this, then I'm gonna love you. He's not that kind of a God. He loves us just where we are. Right now, this second, this moment, God loves us just where we are. And he's reaching out to you now. He's reaching out with a stretched out hand. And he's saying, come to me and lay everything at the foot of the cross. Lay everything at my feet. Give it to me. Give it to me. Don't call up your girlfriend, but give it to me. Don't call up your boyfriend, but give it to me. Don't call up your neighbor, give it to me. Give it to me. I can take care of it. I can fix it for you. I can set you free right now from this day forward. Give it to me. If you're sick in your body, give it to him. If you're dealing with high blood pressure, low blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, leukemia, cancer, whatever it is, God said, give it to me. If you're dealing with depression and oppression, give it to me. Glory to God today. So King Solomon says, guard our heart. He implies that we are living in a combat zone, one in which there are casualties. Many of us are oblivious to the reality of this war. We have an enemy who is bent on our destruction. He's bent on destroying us. It not only opposes God, but he opposes everything that is aligned with him, including us. The enemy is bent on destroying us. But we have to guard our hearts to stay on course, to stay in the race. We have to guard our hearts. It is imperative. It is a must. It should be at the top of the list. It should be something that we work on every single day. Don't open up your heart to the enemy. Not even one inch. Don't let him in. I gave you a spiritual heart quality list. Hope everyone has one. If you don't, raise your hand. And it's talking about positive and a negative heart. And we probably won't get through this whole list today because it's quite a bit. But you can take this list home and you can pray and ask the Holy Spirit, what is in my heart? What's in my heart? Because we don't want that negative stuff in our heart. Excuse me, I'm sorry. So what I want this congregation to do, I want you to pick out one of the positive and the negative. Just pick it out. Pick one out. And then I want you to read it. Amen? So I'm going to start with Underwood. And I'm going to have her pick out a positive, and next to it is a negative. I'm so sorry. So she picked out a willing heart and a hard heart. And she gave us the scriptures on those particular qualities of the heart. Because our heart, our spiritual heart, it has to be right. We cannot have a hard-hearted heart. But we got to have a heart that's willing to do God's will, willing to serve him, willing to serve the body, willing to serve each other. So we got to have a willing heart. That's a positive heart, a positive quality of the heart. Anybody else got something? Amen? Pastor Jenny, Cynthia? Cindy, I'm sorry. Amen. So if we want to stay the course, we got to have a pure heart. A pure heart. A loving heart. A heart that's committed. Not with anything behind it, but committed because I love God. So we got to have a pure heart. And what was next to that? A fat and greasy heart. My goodness, you're about ready to have a heart attack. A fat and a greasy heart. Amen. So attached to these are scriptures, and it's telling you the positive side, the kind of heart that we need, the quality that we need to put in our spiritual heart. And then the negative is about the negative thing that is a possibility that is in our heart. And those things we have to pray and ask the Lord, deliver us from this greasy, fat heart. Deliver me from this hard heart. Deliver me from this wicked heart. And on this list is a long list. It's a long list. So can nobody in here tell me that everything is all right with our heart? Because the list is too long. Amen. Does anyone else want to say something about a positive heart and a negative heart? A new heart. A new heart, what's the other heart? A rebellious heart. Now look, I know that's in our hearts. Our rebelliousness is in all of our hearts. My sister over there raising her hand. Anybody else can raise their hand? A believing heart and a darkened heart. Which heart are you? Do you have a believing heart? Or is your heart darkened? You don't believe nothing. I don't care what God say, I don't believe it. It don't matter whether you believe it or not, God said it. And it ain't gonna change not one iota. Amen? So do we have a believing heart? And what are we believing? Amen. I see Darlene over there. Desperate. Oh, I thought she said desperate. Now, what was the first one, the positive? Oh, a broken heart. And what was the other one? A empty heart, a broken heart, a grieving heart. A broken heart, God can fix your broken heart. He can heal your broken heart. Oh, my Lord, and I know many times our hearts have been broken through a death by a loved one. Your children can break your heart. They can tear it out of your chest. But God can heal a broken heart. Amen. Anybody want to share? Go ahead, sister. Abominable. Ooh. What's the scripture? So now we got two hearts. Positive heart is understanding heart. Woo! We want an understanding heart because we want to walk in the spirit of discernment. We don't want to be deceived or fooled. So we need an understanding heart. And how do we get an understanding heart? Oh, praise. Thank you, darling. Read our Bibles and pray and get understanding. And all are getting, get understanding. So those are the things that are positive, and those are the qualities that we want in our heart. Somebody else want to share? No? Oh, my sister here. Woo, merry heart, a merry heart. And an evil heart, evil, mean heart, mean spirit. But a merry heart does what? Like medicine, because it's a merry heart. And I ain't going to let you steal my joy. I ain't going to let you take away my merry heart. I don't care what I'm going through. I'm going to have a merry heart. I don't care what I'm dealing with. I'm going to have a merry heart. I don't care what I'm facing. I'm going to have a merry heart. I'm going to have a merry heart. I'm going to laugh at the devil. A merry heart. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else want to share about the positive and the negative? About the heart? We're talking, this is the spiritual heart, and these things are in our heart. And you know how they're going to be in your heart? You know when they're in the heart? Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart, our mouth speaks. So we're going to know what's in your heart when you start talking. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody? Sister. Steadfast and a heart that's unforgiving. No repentance nowhere. No repentance. But a steadfast heart has a repentant heart. They're going to recognize their shortcomings, their flaws, recognize they made a mistake, they missed the mark, they missed the bullseye, and they're going to repent. A repentant heart. God loves a repentant heart. If healing needs to take place, we need to repent. God loves a repentant heart. 1 John 1:9 said that if we confess our faults and sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A repentant heart. Romans 6:17. Now, what kind of heart is that? Obedient heart. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God wants an obedient heart. Now, you can give him all your money. You can pay tithes, offering, clean up the church, sweep the church, vacuum the church. You can raise money. You can do all of that. You can go visit the sick, shut in, all of that. You can do all of that. But God wants an obedient heart. An obedient heart. He requires an obedient heart. Amen. That's going to help us to stay the course with an obedient heart. Amen. Well, I'm not going to detain you much longer. Somebody else, are you good? I don't want to leave anybody out. But Darlene, a willing heart. Are you willing to do what God requires of us? Are you willing to go the extra mile? Are you willing, if he tell you, I want you to go on a foreign mission trip, are you willing to go and say, Lord, I can't do that. First of all, I don't have no money. I can't pay the plane fare. I don't have no clothes. But he didn't ask you all that. He said, are you willing? Because when we're willing, he's have already made the way. He's already provided. He only wants a willing heart. Are we willing? Are we willing to stay the course? Are we willing to persevere? Are we willing to press in? Are we willing to endure? Are we willing to do the will of the Father? Are we willing? Well, I'm not going to detain you any longer. Praise God. I think I spent my time over the clock. Ooh, my pastor said, yeah, I didn't think I was going to go this long. I said, well, I'm coming today. I'm only going to be here for 15 minutes. When I went and did the funeral service, I said, look, I asked him, I said, do you have an egg timer? Okay, because I've been guilty of talking too long. And then I said, do you have an hourglass? Because I know if you have an hourglass, nobody going to be up in this funeral home but me, because everybody going to leave. So next time I speak, Pastor Janine, get an egg timer. Praise God. We have hungry hearts and a full heart. She's telling me we're ready to eat. Look, I got an understanding spirit. Amen. So I'm going to close for now. Does anybody want prayer? Praise God. Anybody need prayer, want prayer, desire prayer? Praise God. Pastor Janine, is this a good place for it, or should we wait till after we eat? After we eat. Okay, so after we eat, we're going to have prayer time. Amen. So who's going to bless the food? Praise God. God bless you all. I pray that you all have received something valuable that you can carry and stay the course. Amen.
What a timely word. And I was sitting there listening. What a simple concept, but she spoke an hour. I mean, really, when you think about it, two hearts. And she really delivered the word. So great. A lot of us struggle being double-minded, wanting to be a part of the world, wanting to be a part of God. And it's really all or nothing, right? Lord, we're so thankful, first of all, for the timely word that was shared with us. We all need to go home and really search our hearts. Yes. Yes. We can use those scriptures to help us, Lord. Thank you so much. Lord, and we just ask that you bless the hands that prepared our food. You bless each and every woman that stayed and is going to fellowship with us and return again in the afternoon for more word and more fellowship. So bless these women, bless the food. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hello, ladies. Just looking out at all the beautiful faces. Our Women's Day has grown. I'm so excited. God has given me a gift to be able to write poetry. And there are a lot of women and young girls as well that's suffering in silence. And what they're suffering is physical abuse. But abuse doesn't have to be physical. It can be mental. It can be verbal. It can be emotional. And they all hurt. They all leave scars. And it's not the way God wants us to live. So I sat down one day, and this was in 2005, and God gave me these words. The name of the poem is Walk Toward the Light. Up in the midnight hours, tears streaming down my face. I lay trembling. Oh no, it's too late. I feel the stabbing pain. Oh God, not again. Hitting me harder with each blow. I would have left him, but I had nowhere to go. I feel the blood pouring from my body. I can hardly make another step. Lord, help me. Relieve me of this life of misery and possible death. I'm lying all alone now, battered and bruised. Once again, I've been abused. I close my eyes and I shudder from fright. I hear a voice say, walk toward the light. Now, my child, it's time to rest. I did not create you for this mess. I love my daughter with an everlasting love. I will heal your hurts. Just look above. I have heard your cry. I have seen your tears. I have come to wash away your fears. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I am the one who loves you most. Come, I have need of you. I will show you wonderful and marvelous things. Come now, my daughter. You were not created to be slaughtered, battered, and bruised, mistreated, and abused. I love you. I have need of you. I will save you and change your life. Come walk toward the light. I'm waiting, daughter. What you ask, who am I? I am your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Let me turn on here. There we go. Wow, that was wonderful. And a reality for many. And if you haven't experienced that kind of trauma in your life, be grateful and pray for those who have. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, anoint your word. Let it bring life, Father, in Jesus' holy name. I've been so excited about today, so excited for really many months, every week. You know, when I check in with Pastor Jan, I'm like, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. And I have this strong desire to enjoy the beauty realm of God. There's so much trash. There's so much darkness in this world. There's so many problems, so many trials, so many tribulations, so many addictions, so many bondages. And when we step out into the person of Jesus Christ, where we have our identity, our citizenship, we become a part of a celestial community of saints that have gone before us. And it's an awesome thing to be in the presence of the Lord. And we oftentimes take that for granted. So, as I begin, I want to just explain a little bit about a number of different things and then, you know, seal it up with communion afterwards and such. But, you know, all throughout the scriptures, there's all these metaphors and images all throughout the Bible where we see a variety of descriptions of who God is and of humanity as well. It's evocative and inspiring, and it just jazzes us to worship our Creator when we really get a hold of that truth. He's unmatched in every single way. God, He's unmatched in every way. He is the beautiful one, the only one, the holy one. He is the living water. He is the bread of life. He is the master, the savior, the life creator, our deliverer, the lover of our souls. He is radiant. Use your prophetic imagination. He's glorious and beautiful and majestic, marvelous, brilliant. He's our lamb and he's our shepherd. He's the lover of our souls. He's the light. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's interesting that scripture, the way, the truth, and the life, often is seen and heard by many of Muslims that are converted. My friends Bharat and Val, when Bharat had the Lord appear to him, the Lord told him he was the way, the truth, and the life. I've since seen many testimonies among Muslim converts where they say those exact scriptures. So it must be something very meaningful to those in that walk of life where it really gets them out and converts them. In our humanity, we're living souls. We are made in his image and his likeness. We're referred to many different images all throughout the scripture. One, in Song of Solomon 4:15, we are the garden of the Lord. We are set apart for his purposes. We are protected and secluded. We are called a royal priesthood. We are called a city. We are called a body. And we are called a bride. In Genesis, in paradise, we were created for intimate fellowship with the Lord, right? And there, right in the middle of Eden, was the tree of life in Genesis. Bookends, the tree of life in Genesis, the tree of life in the book of Revelation. Out of Eden flowed four rivers, and one of the rivers wound its way through a land called Havilah. And in that land, there was gold. And also found there was a resin, bdellium, which was used for medicines and perfumes. Also, too, was onyx. And that stone was a particular stone that was in the priest's breastplate or ephod when they went before the presence of the Lord. You can see in the book of Revelation, in chapter 21, I think it's verse 20, that there was a foundation, that part of the New Jerusalem that was the redeemed or newly fresh Eden, We know what happened in the garden, but we also know that in Christ Jesus, we have everything that we need. And we can experience that realm of his beauty any moment. When you just step into Christ, he'll give you beauty for ashes. He'll give you joy for your grief. He will eradicate your heaviness and give you a garment of gratefulness and praise. Wow, what a privilege. One of the resins that was found in Eden was myrrh. So think about it. In the beginning, there was gold, there was myrrh, and how many of you can probably suspect that there was frankincense as well, part of the resin? And we know where that came later on at the very birth of Christ. Well, beyond gold, those resins were just as valuable, but even more valuable. And the real wealth was found in knowledge and wisdom and faith, far exceeding the value of earthly treasures. On the priest's ephod, or breastplate, was worn the 12 inscribed jewels that represented the tribes of Israel. And it's believed that when the priest would enter into the holy place to inquire of the Lord, that those gems would light up in a pattern to answer the questions that were brought to them. Now, I can show you over here. This is kind of a little bit of a representation of the four in the three rows, okay? And later on, you'll see what we're gonna do with those. But I want you just to get your head about the value and the beauty of all the things that God has created for us to enjoy. Here is a beautiful quote. "Surely he who created the fragrance and flowers and music of paradise, surely he who created all colors and has mingled them together in petals of flowers, in the armature of insects and the plumage of birds, has blended lily and rose in the cheek of youth. He who has strewn the bottom of the ocean with pearls and sawed jasper and amethyst and chrysolite among the rocks, he was no condemner of adornment." God, even when we read this morning, when Pastor Jan was reading Psalm 45, it talks about us in a really beautiful, fragrant, and lovely way. And that God adorned the earth, he adorned the priests, he adorned, you know, the garden with flowers, he adorned the city, the New Jerusalem as well, that is dazzling in every way. In Revelation 21, verse 2, you can look it up. "The holy city adorned came down out of heaven and was beautifully dressed for her husband, dazzling in every way, beautified with every kind of precious stone." Let me ask you, do you see yourself part of the glorious bride? Do you see yourself as God sees you and what he says about you? Let me say this. We probably know all the things that we are not, right? We have the list going. We are not worthy. We are not beautiful. We are not smart. We are not rich. We are not this, and we are not that. And we have an enemy, which was spoken of as well. We have an enemy who will constantly remind you of what you are not. Today, what I want to leave you with is what God says. Oh, this is what God says about you. What is going on here? Wait a minute. Yeah. I could feel it moving. I'm like, oh, my God. It's Holy Ghost superpower. All right. Well, you know, they call me Wrong Way Jean. Okay. Is that right? Okay. There we go, but I feel real cockamamie. Okay. We got it?
No, hold on. Because it goes on like this, right?
Okay.
I know it's not comfortable.
It's not comfortable at all. Okay.
We can hear you.
All right. Do you believe that you are cherished? You are. You are cherished. And God wants to redress you. He desires to remedy, to set right, to compensate all the wrongs and grievances and all that the enemy has stolen from you by the power of the Holy Spirit. From rejection to woundedness to pain to sorrow to all manner of injury. Oh, what about self-pity, pride, jealousy, unbelief, fear? He wants to redress you. You know what that means, to redress you? Not only do we get a new wardrobe, right? We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We get clean robes, right? But he wants to redress all of the injuries in your heart. Some of those injuries came by way of life. Some you did to yourself. Some the enemy used all manner of people all growing up to build in you a spirit of rejection, abandonment. It's funny because as believers, I hear so often, well, it's under the blood and it's done and it's gone. And that is true, legally. But how many of you know you can have the deed to a house, but you have to occupy it? You have to occupy what God provides for you in all the things that he promises. And oftentimes, our unbelief gets in the way. You know how you accomplish all these things? By believing. Simple. Believing. I'm going to read a scripture in Isaiah 54. Don't be afraid. This is his promise. You will not be humiliated or shamed because of your past. Now, that could have been just even things that you did yesterday. I'm not talking about your whole past, although that's included, but it could be just what you messed up recently, right? You won't be defined by those things because we have an advocate with the Holy Spirit. You won't be reproached. Today, the Lord will call you back. Today, God will call you back. Maybe there's a point of departure where you just kind of got off just a little bit. Well, guess what? As Carolyn said, that's a dangerous road. It's a slippery slope. You find yourself, you know, maybe just feeling sorry for yourself. Nobody understands, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, you're out doing something that you shouldn't do. And I mean, it could be innocent. You could be out shopping and not spending time with the Lord. It can be something good that gets in the way of his perfect relationship that he wants to have with you. Today, the Lord will call you back to the point of departure. He will remove all that opposes his love and kingdom purposes. Not just his love, but his kingdom purposes for your life. He will bring you the distance. Talk about racing earlier. Now, again, in Isaiah, it speaks about us as a city. Oh, afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted. I will rebuild, I will redress you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with lapis lazuli. That's a mouthful. I will make your battlements of rubies and your gates of sparkling jewels and all your walls of precious stones. Mary Jo? God has not forgotten the word that he spoke to you so many years ago. Afflicted with pain and suffering, lashed, beaten by storms, the storms of life, and it says in the scripture, and not comforted. That's what that poem was about. Not comforted. What is keeping you from receiving the comfort of God in the place that you're at? He wants to comfort you. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Lord says in his scripture, I will give you treasures of darkness. Let's go, guys, on a treasure hunt. Even if it means going through some darkness, the valley of the shadow of death. But it's not death. It may be a shadow, but it's not death. Now, this particular scripture, I will give you treasures of darkness, this is referring to the heaped up treasures that Babylon gathered up and buried. Babylon has stolen from you, and you are very aware of what you lack. But he says he'll give you treasures. He will unbury those things that have been hidden from you and restore you and redeem you and redress you. Now, the foundation for our Women's Day goes back to the beginning with Pastor Jan and Prophetess Teresa Vanderest, where the holy meets the unholy, where we establish the theme for this whole year is Jesus, our living water. Jesus, our living water, without which we cannot live for very long. Jan was sharing about what happens when you don't have that living water. You get dehydrated. And when you're dehydrated and you don't have that living water flowing through your spirit every single day, you know, it takes a lifetime to give your life to Jesus. Every day you make that decision. But what happens is you start to imagine things. You can hallucinate. You can have unstable thinking and feeling. And, you know, and it's the same thing, too, when you don't have sleep. You're just kind of out of it. You just can't think straight. You can't see clear. And Teresa shared about the Samaritan woman, where the Samaritan was met by Jesus at the well and how that well was a place of proposal. I love that story so much. And that was probably one of my favorite messages I've ever heard. But the Samaritan woman at the well, where marriage proposals would take place and where Jesus quenches truly her true thirst. What was her true thirst? Love. Love. And in John chapter 4, She says, come and see. She's transparent. She's without shame. She said, Jesus told me everything I ever did. Everything. He knows everything we do, by the way. He said it. When he came to her, I'll give you water. You will never thirst again. He gave her dignity and legitimacy. He gave her courage and grace, and her past, like I said earlier, no longer defined her. His kindness and his kindness towards us eclipses all of our issues and gives hope, hope for change. Here's another great quote. I think this is from C.S. Lewis, but I didn't write it down, so forgive me for that. If I find myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. We are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ himself lives. Psalm 139, before you were ever born, he knew you. Your name is written in the book of life. What a privilege. What an honor. You know, you were a pauper, and now you're royalty. You're royalty. Quit seeing yourself as something the devil tells you you are not. And start declaring what God says about you. You're worthy. Why? You can't do anything. You can't pay for that. You can't do all the good girl things. Only Jesus. If we could do it in our own, we would have. We see all throughout the Old Testament, it doesn't happen, right? So Jesus had to come. And he paid the highest price. His royal blood, beaten like a piece of meat hanging on wood, forgiving, loving, even to the end of his human life. Now, back in that day, during the ancient betrothals, the father chose for the son. Isn't that cool? The bride was betrothed, and the betrothal was as good as the marriage. So if you broke an engagement, like Joseph almost did with Mary, it was called a divorce. So that's how much God is betrothed to you. The bride would then become part of the father's family or the clan. The bride and groom would remain under the father's authority. The father would pay the bride price, just as Jesus paid for us. And the groom would gift the bride part of his property or his services, if that's the business he was in, which she in turn would bring back at the marriage. Isn't that just how God does it? He gives us what we need to give him back. It doesn't even originate in us. It originates in him. So cool. We sang it tonight, today. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, deserve the glory. Everything that we need to give back to God originates with his gift to us. Now, the bride would go through ritual cleansing, and we're reminded of the story of Esther, which we won't get into, but it took a year of both cleansing, 6 months, and then beautifying treatments. You know, we all need to be cleansed before we get the beautifying treatments. Otherwise, it's like, you know, perfume on stinky armpits. You know, it's not good. Doesn't smell great. But imagine back in that day, you know, you wore little teeny sandals and you walked everywhere. And I imagine they needed a really good pedicure and their nails done and all those beautifying treatments. You know, God wants to spend time with you and beautify you. He really does. In Isaiah 62, it says, "You will be a royal diadem, a diadem in the hand of your God." Now, I used to sing that song all the time, and then I realized, I don't know what a diadem is. Do you guys? So I looked it up. A diadem is a jeweled crown. It was a representation of dignity and a badge of royalty. So here God is saying, you will be a royal crown in my hand. That's pretty cool. In Zechariah chapter 9, it says, God sees his people and he sees you as jewels. You get why I'm doing what I'm doing up here, right? And it says, his people will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown. Are you sparkling? I think you are. That you will be sparkling in his land like jewels in a crown. In Malachi chapter 3, it says, on that day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they, or you, will be mine, my treasured possession. Now, I hope you're starting to feel a little bit like you can stand a little taller and that you feel a little bit more of his love and his beauty cloaking you, holding you. On that day, when I act, says the Lord, you will be mine, my treasured possession. You know, jewels are the flowers of the mineral world. Here on earth, these jewels rise out of the same origin as what lies beneath our feet on the road. That's on earth. He gives us beauty for ashes. Here's an example. Rubies, topaz, and sapphires are all glorified aluminum. Opals are glorified sand. Isn't that what God does with us? I don't feel like I'm gold or silver, but I sometimes feel like aluminum. But God says, that may be the point of origin, but I see a ruby. I see a sapphire. I see a topaz. I see an emerald. But there, the beauty realm of heaven will take our breath away. And we can enjoy that climate of heaven, that celestial time in heaven. Don't you ever experience that when you're in worship? You just have that moment that's an eternal kind of moment where there's no beginning, there's no end, it's just like you just know you are experiencing heaven on earth. And for me, that most often happens when we are in corporate worship. When we are together in worship, in Christ together, the sisterhood, the brotherhood as well. In Isaiah also, too, it says, he can level that mountain. You got a mountain? He can break the gates of bronze. They're pretty tough, pretty heavy. Bronze. He can cut through bars of iron. Now, let me ask you, is there anything in your life that keeps you in captivity? He can speak to that mountain and destroy it. He can break the gates of bronze. He can cut the bars of iron. He can set you free from whatever you are enslaved to. It no longer needs to be your master. Maybe it's depression that wants to master you. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's shopping. Hey, how about TV? And here's another one, the golden calf. How about food? Guilty. It's a good one. Anything that opposes your becoming. Anything that opposes your becoming, who you're meant to be, who God says you are, what your future is, what your destiny is, what your calling is, anything, anything, he can ruin it. He can break it. He can cut it. He can deliver you from it. It is really true. It is really, really true. Now, you may think, oh, I don't have it all that bad. Well, I think maybe think twice on that. Because our hearts in our flesh are not good. But our spirit, the heart that God put in us, that new heart, that clean heart, that pure heart, is pleasing to God. It was said today, you have two hearts. Well, what about you have a couple different ways that you can respond to the Lord. Which heart do you want to give him? The one that the Spirit has put in you and infused in you? Or your fleshly heart who is deceitful, right? Selfish, greedy, proud. That's why it's so important that we really hear the message that was spoken today about giving our hearts our all. Come on, guys. I was convicted for sure. I'm not even going to tell you about what, because you probably, I don't know what you'll think of me, but I won't tell you. You can guess. So, also the word says he will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places. Now, when your heart is engaged with the Holy Spirit, he will take you to discover some wonderful, beautiful things in hidden places. What is the most hidden place? What is the most valuable? What is the greatest treasure? Jesus. He will take you into Jesus and reveal to you such valuable, precious, eternal, wonderful, glorious, glorious treasures. And like the Samaritan, when he said, come, you won't thirst anymore. In Revelation, it says, come, all who are thirsty. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of God, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Now, the scriptures say that the bride prepares herself, and it also says he himself prepares for himself a bride. It's two-way. That's a relationship, right? Prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. How many of you know Jesus is our bridegroom? We are his bride. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, look, do you know heaven right now is looking down on you with great love and saying, look, there's my girl, there's my wife, there's my bride. Isn't she gorgeous? Isn't she beautiful? Isn't she lovely? He rejoices over you. The scripture says we're singing. Singing. God is singing. God is singing over you. Look at her. Oh, the imagination is so awesome, right? God is singing over you. And guess what? He left all of his dignity in heaven, came in Jesus Christ, and he dances over you as well. He rejoices over you as well. He delights in you. You are the apple of his eye, the center, the apple of his eye. Whew. The holy city shining with the glory of God, its brilliance like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. Come, the scriptures say. Come. This is God talking. Come, I will show you the bride. Here she is. The wife of the Lamb. That's us. Now the walls of the city, I won't get into a lot of details, but I'll just mention, like the priest's ephod or breastplate that we saw earlier or talked about earlier, was full of all the stones that were in the priest's breastplate. Jasper, sapphire, agate, emerald, rubies, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, turquoise, jacinth, and amethyst. And the streets are gold. Gold that is so pure and transparent, it's like a mirror. And under that mirror, you can see all these precious gems as the foundation of that holy city of which we are citizens. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water of the word, Carolyn, and to present her to himself as a radiant, radiant church without stain, wrinkle, or blemish, but holy and blameless. In Revelation 22, we see Eden restored. There's a river of a water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And on each side stood the tree of life. Now, it wasn't two trees. That tree was large enough. It reached both sides of that river. And we know that the tree of life represents Christ. Now say with me, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Say it. Now let me hear you like you really mean it. The Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Are you hearing? Say, come. Let the one who is thirsty say, come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life say, come. Amen and amen. 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 Hallelujah. One second. I hope this made sense to you. I hope that deep calls unto deep. The Spirit of God ministers to each and every single person here. I hope that you go away knowing a little more of what and who you are according to the Bible, according to God's word. And I hope that you will recognize when the enemy comes and says all the things that you are not, that you quickly say, get out of my head. Get out of my head. Now, in a moment, we are going to have communion. And then we'll have some ministry. But I do want to tell you that being a prophetic person, I love prophetic action. I love props that give you a visual picture. And I hope that you felt today just beautiful. Beautiful. And over here in on the table are these stones. And I want each one of you to take one home. There are little bags there to take it home. And I want you to use that as a memory. You know, put it somewhere where you can, when you're feeling down or whatever, you can pull it out and go, nope, this is who I am. I'm part of this building. I'm part of this city. I'm part of this priesthood. I'm part of this garden. I'm part of the diadem, the crown that is in God's hand. Amen.
Who can beat all that? It was the Lord speaking to each and every one of us. So receive it. It's truth. You don't have to go in your Bibles if you don't want. It's no biggie right now anyway. But the Lord put this on my heart this morning. Luke 22:19-20. And we take the communion in remembrance of him. And in 1 Corinthians 11:28, as we take the communion, we ask God to search our hearts. And as we do this, we commit to God and one another. And sometimes our lives can get messy and painful, but we need to remember we all come together as sisters, united, making a committed effort to choose and go forward with our godly relationship with Jesus and one another. And in Revelation 19:6-9, we come expecting his promises. His promises are freedom. Freedom from addictions. Addictions, not just drugs, but it could be your temper. It could be envious, jealousy, intimidation. He wants us to know deep today, after all that was spoken, believe his word. It was the Lord speaking today. But taking this communion doesn't make you a Christian, but it gives you the promise, the nourishment that you need to be set free. I need to be set free. There are things we're struggling with, and you can deny it. But as our sister is speaking up here, we can deny it, but it shows in our verbal language and our character. You need to be set free and healed once and for all and follow him and drink the wine. We renew our trust in him. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of what he has done for us. You got to believe. We got our senior pastors pouring out their guts to us. It's the Holy Spirit speaking. And he reminds us of what God has done for us and what his heart desires working in us. And I just wanted to read Philippians 4:19. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound, and I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing set from you, a sweet-smelling aroma and an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. We're taking this to please him and to have grateful hearts. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Father God, we bow our heads together, Lord God, in believing you did die on the cross. That wasn't some made-up imagination thing. But Lord, you died so that we would be free from sin. And you don't remind us of our sins, our faults, our struggles, whatever. Lord God, today we want to be that bride, Lord God, walking with you, Lord, pure and holy. Today we choose you, a new chapter in our lives, Lord God, for you. We dedicate. Amen.
Well, before we all leave, we do offer ministry time. If anybody would like prayer, to come on up. We also don't forget to take one of your gems home as a reminder of today. And we hope to see all of you next time, end of January. And bring friends, because that's what happened this time. Friends came, and it just made the meeting more powerful, sweeter. So if you think you would like ministry, I'm going to conclude in prayer, but then come on up. And then please, women, come and pick your gem to take home and as a reminder of today. So, Lord, this has been, again, a very rich day. Lord, we thank you for the speakers. We thank you to hear that we have two hearts, and to feed both hearts properly and to guard both hearts properly. And Lord, then we heard about that you love us. And I love it when you said, look, there's my daughter. I want to keep that in my mind all the time, that you love me and you tell all of heaven, look, there's my daughter. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all the women that came, all the women that poured into this day, Lord. Every single woman poured into this day by just being here. They poured into this day. So, Lord, we thank you. We bless them all. We ask your abundant grace to go with them, your Holy Spirit to go with them. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. And may these women carry you with them every single day. Every single day. So in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.